This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
City, damn glad to have you here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well.
I am so excited for this today.
Okay. He was quiet the entire break. Not a peep.
I am so excited
for the Richard of the
Week.
Yes.
You've been holding this in.
I've been holding this one in since about 5 o'clock this morning when I saw this story.
It's like a good fart.
I am so excited about this one. Right. I can't wait.
Tee him up, Mac.
Let's do it.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
That's right. 9 o'clock on a Friday. Richard of the Week brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories. And the best part, zero bubbles. Bob, let it out, bud.
All right. My Richard of the Week, Doug Gottlieb.
Oh, all right.
Again?
Yeah, exactly.
He's back. This guy's a Hall of Famer of Richard of the Week for one Bob Fesco.
He's claiming he fixed Caitlin Clark.
Oh.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Wow. Said she had a flaw in her shot, and he noticed it and fixed it, and that's why she's dominating in the WNBA.
Has she credited him for this?
I don't think so, okay. No.
I'm speechless.
What about
Steph Curry, Doug?
Yeah.
Get with him?
He fixed Caitlin Clark's shot, and that's why she's successful. And the WNBA has won
Doug, right. Golly? He fixed her shot. He was on Dan Patrick yesterday, recognized a flaw,
yeah.
Fixed her shot, to which Dan Patrick says, has she thanked you yet, Doug? No, Gottlieb replied, for going on another tangent about how Caitlin Clark's boyfriend's dad recruited him to Notre Dame, and he's like a second father to him, so it's all good. He even threw in a late jab at another well-accomplished basketball player, LeBron James, calling him insecure just for good measure.
This is awesome.
Mm.
I don't think Serena could serve until Doug got with her either. So
right.
Yep.
So Doug Gottlieb, claiming Caitlin Clark had a flaw in her shooting mechanics she needed to fix in order to succeed in the WNBA. She fixed it, and that's why Caitlin Clark is good.
Mm.
Way to go, Doug. That's unbelievable. Dusty, you want to go next?
I mean, I can't. It's tough to follow up.
It's tough to top,
man.
You can't be more of a Richard than that. That's crazy.
Yeah, he also helped Barry Bonds start hit home runs.
Yep, 100%.
Right. He got Shaquille O'Neal to start shooting free throws at a better rate.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
The article does point out, which is very nice on brobible.com, that, reminder, Doug Gottlieb was a 45.7% free throw shooter in college. Caitlin Clark shot 90.6% at the free throw line in her first year with the Indiana Fever.
Huh. Good for Doug.
You know, Cax just got moved to outfield, I'm sure. He just called Doug, I'm sure.
I don't want to get my mic faded off again.
You're right.
Somebody's like, are we going to talk about Jack Caglione playing right field? I said, I did, and then Mac faded my mic down.
Sorry, man.
I guess there's other fish to fry today.
What the hell was that?
Yeah. Somebody says from 913, maybe Doug should try with his own trash-ass team.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Maybe the Royals should bring him in here and, hey, you could fix the hitting.
Exactly, yes.
Well, people say that you fixed Nick Prado's swing.
Well, I mean, see, ball, hit ball, it's not that hard. I had a guy at the J yesterday, 2 days ago, tell me, he goes, you know, older guy, obviously. When I was growing up and playing baseball, you know, maybe the Royals could try this. We used to time the pitcher from the on-deck circle. I said, I'll pass that along. I sent it to Vern. I don't know that he shared the information with the players, but... Hey, everybody's trying to help, man.
Hey,
everybody's just trying to help.
Love it.
Looking for answers. It takes a village, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I appreciate any kind of input we can get.
Doug Gottlieb also helped Chuck Norris with his leg kicks. Doug Gottlieb helped Dan Kilgore be able to practice.
I like that. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, my Rich of the Week is a combo of the Cleveland Browns and the comparisons of the NFL. My man Cam Ward went number one in the draft last night. Nobody realized it. With the first pick of the 2025 NFL draft in the future of the Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward. You know, here's Patrick Mahomes and here's Cam Ward.
The fact right, that they did that right away.
Right, I mean, out of the chute.
I mean, come on.
And then right after that, the Cleveland Browns have traded out of the second pick with the Jacksonville Jaguars with a haul of a trade. And here comes Travis Hunter. You're like, Cam Ward, there you go. So kind of like, you know, sarcastic Richard, but it was just like, here's this kid who's lived his whole life to be an NFL player to possibly one day be the number one overall pick in the draft. And right when you get drafted, you're compared to maybe the greatest quarterback talent we've ever seen, who's won 3 Super Bowls and 2 MVPs, to immediately be just brushed under the door to, here's one of the biggest trades of the draft so far, the Cleveland Browns and Jags, and here's the pick, and not a peep of Cam Ward the rest of the night.
Not the rest of the night. You saw nothing about Cam Ward, because he's not going to be that good in the NFL, and they know that's not really, like, everybody knew he was going to, what's the intrigue there, right? The intrigue is not there. The intrigue was, oh, there's a trade. What do people get excited about? We love the rumor section, right? We love the gossip page. We love all that kind of stuff. Trades or gossip or rumors. And as soon as that trade went down, yeah, we knew this guy was going to be pick number one. He'll probably be an afterthought in 2 years anyway. Now we've got a trade. What are they going to do? Who's moving up? Who's moving back? What did they give up? Who are they going to get? It just takes on a life of its own, man. It's just, that's just the way that it is. And so, I mean, seeing Travis Hunter get drafted and the excitement that he had. Yeah,
awesome.
Sorry, man, Cam Ward. Nobody knows who you are anymore because everything that went on afterwards.
Do you want some more Doug Gottlieb?
Yes.
It's taking over the text.
Yeah,
line.
Good. I hope it does. I hope you guys have a party with this.
913-586-7965. Bob's Rich of the Week was Doug Gottlieb because he said he helped Caitlin Clark fix her shot. Doug Gottlieb helped Frank White in succeeding the city government. From the 816, Doug Gottlieb held the paint tray for Da Vinci as he painted the Sistine Chapel.
That's a great one right there. I love that one.
Yeah. I heard Doug Gottlieb helped Alex Ovechkin with his one-timer. And then wait a second, from the 785. We're talking about Doug Gottlieb, who went 4-28 as a head coach of men's basketball.
That's right. Yeah,
that guy.
I mean, talking about the balls on somebody to get out there and say, and to take claim on a national radio show like Dan Patrick, that you fixed Caitlin Clark's shot. I didn't know her shot needed to be fixed.
Somebody says, I wish Doug Gottlieb would teach my kids how to hit the toilet when they take a piss. Oh, boy.
That's fantastic.
Doug Gottlieb, what a just a douche.
From the text line, I once helped a kid throw a football in the backyard. That kid came up to be Patrick Mahomes. Signed, yeah. Doug Gottlieb.
Too good. Heard Doug got Drew on the blue chews.
Oh, man. From oh, no to oh, yes. Oh, that man had a rough night last night. I couldn't have been in my car at a more perfect time.
I know, me too.
He's like, yeah, we're here with Drew Nixon. He's getting the Bengals jersey. You can hear Drew getting booed through the speakers in your car.
It was awesome. Should have been getting booed.
And then
they got,
yeah, read the room, Drew.
Yeah.
Wear a hoodie. Don't wear a jersey for the Cincinnati. I mean, I love leaning into the heel role. So good for him. Oh, gosh. Doug Gottlieb designed Shador's draft room for him to get drafted.
How sad was that, too? That draft. I mean, like, also, the whole thing.
Come on, right? ESPN. Come on.
The ESPN?
I mean, they just kept going to it and going
to it
and going to it.
Shador Sanders, you created a room in your house with legendary plastered behind you. Like,
who's your Richard of the Week?
Lou Dort. Oh. For Bob. I'll do this for Bob real quick.
Never heard of him.
Who?
Yeah, there we go. Lou Dort.
Whoa!
The Dortcher Chamber. He put John at last night, injured him. I thought it was a dirty play, went for his hips. I know he was slipping, but I mean, John Morant did a front flip in midair. They were up by 27 points. They would have got that series to 2-1, would have had a chance to tie that series on Saturday in Memphis. And now that series is over and it sucks. And John Morant's going to miss the rest of the playoffs. And who knows how bad this injury is. It looked real rough. Yeah, man, it was, he had the explosion last night for sure. So that'd be mine. Lou Dort's going to win the Defensive Player of the Year, Bob.
Never heard of him.
So, yeah. Thought my mic got faded.
Oh, I'm just not saying anything.
Do you want more Doug Gottlieb?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Doug Gottlieb helped Luke Skywalker stay on target.
You guys get the weekend off, man.
From the 913, Doug Gottlieb helped Uncle Rico throw a football over the mountain.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Doug Gottlieb taught Helen Keller how to say water. That guy makes miracles, man. Doug Gottlieb helped Tiger Woods to learn how to putt.
That's it.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
He told him to switch from the Scotty Cameron to the ping. God, Doug Gottlieb, man. Just go away.
Maybe Doug should try that with his own trash team.
4-28.
Exactly right.
Yeah, 4-20. Like, if you're the head coach of a 4-28 team, resign from your radio job and focus on basketball.
Or vice versa.
Or quit your radio or your basketball job and focus on that. But, I mean, this is a guy who thought he should have been the head coach of K-State at least three opportunities. Thought he should be the Oklahoma State head coach. Finally got an opportunity because everybody's just tired of listening to him. 4-28, and he's going to claim he fixed Caitlin Clark.
From the 816, Doug Gottlieb convinced Michael Jordan to go back to 23.
Hey, Michael, let's not work with this 45, man. You got to go back to 23. Yeah. Thanks, Doug.
That is the Richard of the Week brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part is zero bubbles. Kick that carbonation away. We'll get back to what the guys said about the draft. Binkley, DJ, and Mitch Holtis as we dive into what was the number one pick of the draft last night for your Kansas City Chiefs, Mr. Simmons out of Ohio State, coming up on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Canarius Tony, Young Joka, hasn't gone licensed yet on music, so we can play his beat.
He hasn't retired yet from the NFL.
He should. He may not have retired, but people have retired
him. They retired him, yeah. There's one thing of like, yeah, I'm not retired. Yeah, but you're not welcome here anymore. We don't have a need for you anymore.
Mm.
Jerry texted in that the Doug Gottlieb taught Jasper how to cook. Any more good Gottlieb ones coming in?
Doug Gottlieb taught, Doug Gottlieb and Herbie Hancock signed the Declaration of Independence. there's a ton of Doug Gottlieb.
Good.
Yeah.
Keep them coming in.
James Naismith copied off of Doug Gottlieb.
He did. Yeah, yeah. Lambert Will invented basketball. James Naismith stole it.
According to the text line 913-586-7965 from the 702. Doug Gottlieb is the coach who taught Shohei Ohtani how to hit and pitch.
I do like that one. That's a really good one. Love it.
Oh, happy Friday to everybody with Doug Gottlieb.
Yeah, really is a shame. Yeah. It really is. He's done it to himself, though. Like, that guy has no allies, right? Like, if you look around, like, who's, like, out here going, come on, man, lay off Doug. Like, nobody's saying that.
So you've heard the audio all day.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
So
I mean, it's just so good.
We had Jay Binkley on the show at 6:45. He explained why he doesn't like the pick.
The Chiefs brought him in for a top 30 visit. I get it. They looked at him. They obviously were happy with where he was. I will say this, 31 other NFL teams decided to pass on him. He almost got out of the first round. For a guy, like you said, that was left tackle one, going into the season, there's a lot of people had some doubts. The patellar tendon is kind of a rare injury. that is not an injury that people have come back from right away. I mean, it takes a while, especially when you have surgery on it. To that point, it is not a injury in the NFL that they're used to dealing with.
So that's Binkley kind of giving you the other end of the spectrum of, hey, you can have all this praise that you could possibly be a starting left tackle and a future Pro Bowl or an All-Pro at that position, but also, hey, let's also, you know, dive into what is the injury. But apparently, according to Binkley, he says, top 30 visit, they checked him out, medical staff's like, he should be fine, and they went with their judgment on that.
And they should. And you know, we know this medical staff is good. They've done a nice job over the years of getting Patrick Mahomes, just Patrick Mahomes, ready to play. And you know, that what was the game after Jacksonville, that follow a couple of years ago in the AFC Championship game, it was Buffalo or whoever it was that year, right? And that, I love the fact that we can't remember. But they get Mahomes ready to play, working wonders with Patrick Mahomes. Lou Riddick on ESPN last night obviously worked with Andy and all these guys in Philadelphia, talked glowingly about Rick Burkholder and the staff and the training staff and how this pick makes sense for the Chiefs because they have a great training staff on hand that can get guys ready. And so that factors in as well. This, I think, is a good pick. I know Binkley doesn't like it, and I do respect what Jay Binkley has to say, obviously, because he knows the draft better than anybody else in Kansas City. But he seems to be the only one that isn't on the side of liking this pick. And I'd rather go in with the optimism of really liking this pick than going in saying it's not going to work out. And if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. 47% of these guys, or I'd say 53% of these guys, are busts anyway in the first round. So it trends that direction, right? So if it's a bust, it's a bust. But as of right now, everybody seemingly is in love with this pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, one of those, damn, they got him again, man. They got us again.
No doubt. This was Derek Johnson, who joined the show as well. His opinion on the pick of Josh Simmons.
I feel like it's a great pick. I mean, it was kind of expected. You know, sometimes when you go through drafts and different people get picked up, and sometimes you don't pick the position that you really need. Sometimes you pick just the best player available. But when you pick for need and how we go about our business each year with Brett Veach, been doing a great job at just being very intentional with the picks so they can count and be purposeful throughout the year. Just because he's a young guy doesn't mean, oh, we'll use him later. It's like, no, oh, we're going to use him now. I heard he had some injuries or whatnot late, and he's still getting over that. But he'll be there for the season and everything. But at the same time, he actually was an earlier pick than what we picked. So we actually, you know, we picked up, you know, he's a top 10 type of talent. So big kid, went to a big university. When you get these guys from big universities, there's some value there just because they've been playing against quality players week in and week out.
And that's your all-time favorite Chief, Derek Johnson, mentioning Josh Simmons.
And I love the fact that he mentioned, look, this is a top 10 pick. Everybody's mentioned that he's a top 10 pick if he wasn't injured. And you say, yes, injuries happen. Injuries can happen to anybody. But you've got this injury now. You know what it is. You had the ability to evaluate it. You had the ability to look at it. You didn't have to take this player. Like, if the injury was going to be a concern for this guy, there's no way that the Chiefs would have gone out there and drafted him. They would have looked at it and gone, nah, we're not getting ourselves in that situation. There's a lot of other guys that we can pick. They trust their medical staff. They trust the injury. And I think everybody also, too, that is kind of in trepidation, if you will, about this pick. Think about Trey Smith and where he was. I mean, you know, this was a guy who was supposed to be a first-round guard, but because every team passed on him because of the blood clots, he fell to the sixth round, and the Chiefs looked at him with their medical staff and said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and take this guy. He's going to be just fine. And people now look at Trey Smith and go, damn, that was a first-round selection that they got in the sixth round. And I think a lot of people thought he would be a first- or second-round selection if he didn't have those blood clot issues, but he did, and the Chiefs found him, and they got him. And that's a serious injury that we're talking about, or a serious situation, the blood clotting stuff. This knee stuff, everybody has knee injuries, right? You can find your way back from them. And so if this medical staff looked at Trey Smith and said, hey, you're going to be good to go, you're looking at Justin Simmons or Josh Simmons, and you're like, okay, you're good to go too, man. Like, you're going to be a top 10 pick. You're going to be a top 10 type of guy. You'll get past this knee injury, and we'll go from there.
Before we get to what Mitch Holt has to say, this is the NFL draft highlight of Josh Simmons.
Josh Simmons. tackle, Ohio State. He transferred to play for the Buckeyes in 2023, immediately won the starting left tackle job, and established himself as a stalwart on their offensive front. He has terrific lateral mobility and the power to fend off rushers at the point of attack. He didn't allow a sack through six games last season, but then suffered a season-ending knee injury, which raises concerns for some scouts. But if his medicals check out, he can be a day one starter with Pro Bowl upside.
Like that.
Yeah.
So basically everything that we've described, yeah. But like, it's nice. I mean, Jalen Moore, Juwan Taylor, get to work. There's mm-hmm. somebody in your shadow.
Yeah,
it's
both
a
of those
big
guys.
Body in your shadow. Mm-hmm. I can give you more Doug Gottlieb, where we can continue with this conversation with Mitch Holthus.
Yeah, let's hear what Mitch has got to say.
Okay, let's get to Mitch Holthus because he joined us earlier on the show. If you missed it, please go to the Odyssey app, download the show. You can get everything you need all day, every day. This was Mitch Holthus on Simmons.
This injury is not an ACL or MCL. I mean, this is the hubcap. On the and I'm not an orthopedist, but the patellar tendon is tricky, and the rehab from it is not an easy rehab. And so we're talking, he got injured on October the 12th. So curious how much he'll be able to do even at training camp. I heard he's going to be ready to go. Okay, we'll see. We don't know, but we'll see how his next 60 days go. But he's athletic. If take the injury aside, I love the fact that at San Diego State, and by the way, he went to Alex Smith's high school.
Oh,
that to me, Helix High, very, very good program in San Diego, and that's where Josh went. But he was a right tackle at San Diego State, and if you go back and watch his video, you'll see how they used him. He was on the move and athletic, and then his 2023 season was very, very, very good at Ohio State. And they didn't win the national championship, but they made a run at it. What Andy Reid loves to do with all of his linemen, but his tackles, is have them on the move. This isn't just one-on-one pass blocking for Mahomes. The screen game, the inside power game, they have to be man block, zone block. But the tackles have to move. The guards have to move. The centers have to move. And so that's what's unique about Andy's offense. And if healthy, Simmons fits that. Because his feet, his agility, his athleticism are great.
Check every box.
Yeah, it does.
I mean
like, you listen to Mitch talk about him there, and you're like, all right, man, I'm ready for this guy. Let's see what he can do. And look, he has the opportunity to be, and I know people probably roll their eyes a little bit at this one, but kind of that next Eric Fisher. I mean, that's what you want out of a left tackle. You want a guy that's going to come in and be that mainstay. You'd love it to be for 20 years, obviously, but that's not going to be the case anymore. But if you could get 7 or 8 years out of Josh Simmons as either your starting left tackle or your starting right tackle, and you never have to worry about that position, then you hit a home run on this pick. And I think that's where the Chiefs are looking at this. Whether he plays the left side or the right side going forward, they want to know that they hit a home run. They don't have to worry about that offensive tackle position anymore going forward. And for the last 5 years, it sucked. It really has. Like, who's going to be there? Who's going to play that position? Who can play that position? Okay, that guy doesn't work. Let's put a guard out there. Oh, my God, he looks good. Then he looks bad in the Super Bowl. And so, like, they're just tired of that. You know, it's like we've beaten our head against the wall for so long trying to figure this out. We're going to go out there and we're going to draft what people are saying is arguably the best offensive tackle in the draft. You can make the case for the kid from Mizzou as well, that the Jets took at number 7 overall, local kid, right? Like people thought he was arguably the best tackle as well. This kid is in that conversation, Josh Simmons as well, in that conversation as one of the best offensive tackles in the draft right now, and you have an opportunity to stabilize at least one of those positions on your line. And you continue to bring up the conversation of that competition, and I think that is really the biggest part of all of this, because you've got competition between him and Jalen Moore on the left side for the future. But whoever loses that battle potentially can be your right tackle. And that's a hell of a right tackle to have. Juwan Taylor's going to age out. As we know, the contract is going to come due. That's another reason why you draft this guy, so you can backfill and you can stabilize that offensive line. And I know a lot of folks didn't like Eric Fisher for whatever reason, but that guy was a damn good left tackle that they took at number 1 overall in 2013. He was a mainstay on your offensive line for the first incarnation of what we're seeing now here in Kansas City. Hopefully Josh Simmons can be that guy. And I would love, in a perfect world, which I know we don't live, but if Josh Simmons could be that guy and he's the last left tackle that Patrick Mahomes ever has to play with. That would be a perfect scenario.
Yeah, Josh Simmons, Justin Simmons, Ben Simmons, Lakers in five.
That's right. I saw him at the Green Bay Airport this morning. There's video of Shannon at the Green Bay Airport this morning.
Mm, stepping away from ESPN. That's from what I heard.
Yeah.
Get your life together, buddy. I will say this, though, when it comes to that pick, because we kind of talked about it earlier, like, let's go plus side. Let's go high plus side. Like you'd mentioned, next 8 to 10 years, he's your left tackle. You never have to worry about that position for Mahomes the rest of his career.
Right.
Mahomes is 30 years old.
That puts him at 38. Give me 8 years out of this guy. We're walking off into the sunset.
Especially when Mahomes gets older and things don't work like they used to in the younger days. You also pair that or parlay that with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's three solid pieces that are locked up that could build like an immunity with each other and protect the billion-dollar arm that is number 15.
Right.
Right tackle, Max on record is saying, like, you can find that throughout time. Like, you can. I know Juwan Taylor is not everybody's favorite, but he does well at right tackle.
Right.
When not flagged, but that's, you know.
Juwan Taylor's a good football player. He is.
He's a right tackle. He doesn't have to be an all-pro, just be there. Just be stable at that position.
But like every time an offensive lineman makes a mistake, it's mm-hmm. magnified. You see that. You don't know if a wide receiver runs the right route or the quarterback picked the right read, or we don't know any of that. But when an offensive lineman makes a mistake, it is so magnified. And Juwan Taylor's magnified because people are waiting for him to make that mistake.
Thanks,
and,
Chris.
Right, exactly. And instead of going out there and appreciating Juwan Taylor for being a very good right tackle, we're all looking for when he's going to make that mistake. And look, that's kind of who he is, and it is his MO, and I get all that. But when he's not offsides, you know, he's a damn good right tackle.
And you take the negative side out of it, but this is where, like, we did the earlier conversation in the must be nice category. Like, let's say Jalen Moore works out. Like, let's say that, yeah, he's just been plagued by being behind somebody who's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he works out. And, you know, Simmons isn't your left tackle, but he's your right tackle. And it's like, oh, you picked 32 for a right tackle? Yeah, but yeah. He's now the future of your right side. You have a future of your left side. You have center and guard left. And who knows? Like Mitch had said earlier in the interview, what if Kingsley pans out? What if moving from left tackle to left guard really humbled him and made, we talked about Shador being humbled.
Yeah.
Right. You might get drafted 33rd overall to Cleveland Browns. You're out of Colorado. You're out of dad's light. Now you got to go be a man in the league of men. Maybe Kingsley was like, man, I was humbled, man. I was taken, you know, to be a left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. It didn't work out. Now I'm a left guard. This is my position. There's a potential opportunity now that the offensive line that you could carry out on this roster this year outside of Juwan Taylor could be your offensive line for the foreseeable future. And I hate to break it to you guys, but it's a very damn good thing to have when you don't have to go to bed at night being like, damn, what are we going to do at left tackle? What are we going to do at, you know, right tackle?
Yeah.
You go to bed at night. You know who else goes to bed really easy at night? The guy that leads your team that throws the football every damn play
because
they don't run. Yeah. But I do like the fact that Mitch said he's good on his feet.
Yep.
And one thing that we've loved to see is if the Chiefs draft a running back, that pairs very well in tandem. Because if you draft your running back for the next 3 to 4 years and you have your left tackle that's able to swing out there and push people down and bully people on the left side, that gives Mahomes to bring back that little screen pass. That gives Andy Reid time to be more creative. Now he's got stability on the left side that he can trust. So there's a lot of positives because, like we said, this guy was a top 10, top 15 pick without the injury scare.
No doubt.
You fell all the way to 32, and the Chiefs, who have the luxuriness of being able to take that pick and gamble on that to make sure it might work. And then all of a sudden, in 3 years from now, you're like, remember when the Chiefs got Josh Simmons at 32? Yeah, don't remind me.
Right, exactly. Remember when the Chiefs took Tyreek Hill in the 5th round or Travis Kelce in the 3rd round or traded up for Patrick Mahomes or got Nick Bolton with that trade for Orlando Brown or traded up and went out and got Trent McDuffie and George Karloftis in the same 1st round? I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, the it's must be nice people, the people who say it's must be nice don't know how to put in the hard work, because that's a direct shot at folks who put in the work, who put in the effort, who just do the job better than everybody else. Oh, must be nice. You know what? It is. It is nice. Yeah. And it's fun to have an organization that we all root for that has people that work harder and better and do their jobs better than the majority of their peers. It's awesome to have that. Like, that's so cool. And so for these people that I've been seeing on social media with the Eagles and the Chiefs, and I'll defend the Eagles on this one too. Oh, must be nice to be able to draft the linebacker and trade up and get a guy that may not play. Must be nice to draft. Yeah, because these organizations have busted their ass for the better part of a decade to put themselves in the position to be able to have the ability to go out there and do, and it must be nice pick. And that's where we are right now. Like, that's a great compliment to Brett Veach to sit there and go, oh, must be nice. No, it's hard work is what that is. That's called hard work, and hard work reaps reward, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and both those teams got better last night, both the Eagles and the Chiefs, in my opinion. Now, you mentioned Josh Simmons. Okay, let's say Jalen Moore works at the left. Thank God he goes to the right side. You mentioned his ability to move from side to side. You pair that up with Trey Smith, you legitimately have the most athletic, best at getting to the second level and pancaking duo in the league on the right side with Trey Smith and Josh Simmons. Both those guys getting to linebackers, that is going to be frightening. Now, I've been getting texts from our guy, Jay Binkley, all morning. Mm-hmm. Okay,
you have?
I have. Now, Binkley texted me most recently, and I got to say, he brings up a good point. We bring up all the positives. We bring up how Mitch sounds really excited about the upside.
Yeah.
He did bring up, Mitch seemed to be concerned about that patellar as well. And I did sense some patellar concern for Mitch. And the unknown of that injury is real.
Well, it would be foolish if we all weren't thinking, well, there is that injury. That's why we keep saying because of the injury and all that. Like, we think about that stuff. And we should think about that stuff. It shouldn't be something that you just away. Mm-hmm. But I kind of away because this medical staff has shown us.
I agree.
That they can do magical things, man. Like Patrick Mahomes playing the week after that ankle injury and then playing in the Super Bowl on that ankle injury against the Philadelphia Eagles that first go around. He ain't doing that if that medical staff isn't that good. And so that's why you've got a guy with a little bit of an injury that he's recovering from and a medical staff that's worked wonders and miracles with Patrick Mahomes. And they checked out of this. Okay. So that's where I give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's where this always comes back to for me. Certain people in life, in sports, have earned a benefit of the doubt, right? Brett Veach, Andy Reid have earned the benefit of the doubt. Rick Burkholder has earned the benefit of the doubt in all of this, right? Because they have shown over the years on a consistent basis, they know how to draft, they know how to coach, and they know how to get their players ready to go out there on a, you know, on a Sunday afternoon and play a football game. A guy who's new as a head coach, like you know, Willy Wonka down there, Gene Hackman running around Duvall, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't done anything yet.
No.
That guy doesn't. The guy in Nashville with Cam Ward, he ain't getting the benefit of the doubt. He hasn't done anything. Tomlin, Reed, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, basically the AFC West.
It's today.
All those coaches get the benefit of the doubt because they've done it before.
This is a big dude, too, guys. He's a big man. 6'5", 317.
Ooh! 317 seems small for a 6'5 guy.
I mean,
yeah, you don't want your tackle being more than, you know, 330.
Yeah, you want, like, that's what the athletic part comes into. Because, like, run block, pass block, it's but all there.
If you would have said somebody 6'5, how much does he weigh? I said, I don't know, 350. 350? Fair. You know, I don't know.
870, Doug Gottlieb drafted Patrick Mahomes.
That's fantastic.
I'm sorry to ruin your Richards of the week, no, but I mean, like, good, this was just...
That's fantastic.
If you don't know, Doug Gottlieb is taking credit for fixing Caitlin Clark.
I didn't know it was broken. Doug Gottlieb.
Well, there is that part of the story, too.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
I fixed her. Excuse me?
When?
Rookie of the year.
Who do you think... Go ahead.
Yeah, say Doug Gottlieb wrote the Gettysburg Address and told Abe Lincoln he should wear the top hat.
So, cool story, real fast. My daughter's in the car yesterday. We're driving home to get ready for the dance at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Mm. She goes, I got to bring a cooler of water balloons to school the next week. I go, why? She goes, we're reenacting the Battle of Gettysburg. I'm like, I want to be there for that. Oh, God. They're going to do a water balloon fight and reenact Gettysburg?
Absolutely.
I got to be there for goodness. That one, right? That sounds so much fun. Who do you think, Mac, had the most fascinating day yesterday in the first round?
Player or team?
Team. Fascinating day is Shador. I mean,
fascinating day for sure. It's Shador.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that from a team perspective. The AFC West we covered, it's pretty fascinating. I'd have to think about that, though.
Cleveland.
Yeah. New York.
The Jets or the Giants?
Yeah.
Giants.
Honestly, the Giants, yeah.
Giants had a good day yesterday.
Jets got a hell of a kid out of Lee Summit.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on the Giants more, Bob.
Okay.
We should do that on the other side.
On the other side, yeah. Because I think the more that I read on X now with that,
what do I do?
The more and more, like when you said the Giants had a good day, when you see on X like New York people saying that they had a good day, I think that's fantastic.
That's
I don't know what you're laughing at. So
try to plug the Lee Summit guy. Goes to the first round. Try to talk Jack Caglione. Let's fade my mic and talk the Giants. This is Fesco and Mac on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr. and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, we're living here in Brettfeed's town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and more. And our sacks are coming from Chris Jones. Ty's making plays. We need more parades. And we're living here in Brettfeach Town.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Neither does Doug Gottlieb, Binkley.
You and Doug, Jay.
Yeah, he told the Chiefs to take Luther Burden.
Does Shador go first today?
I don't know.
My mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Cleveland, the first pick. Houston with the second pick. He's probably not going there. Tennessee, third pick. Probably not going there. Cleveland with the fourth pick.
It's one of those two.
And or the Raiders at the fifth pick.
That's the other one that people are kind of talking about. Like, Geno, Pete.
Like, if you're the Browns, you got picks 1 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't take Shador. If you're going to take Shador, I'm not taking him with that first pick. Because Houston and Tennessee aren't taking him.
Yep.
Now, there is the possibility of somebody trading up for Shador Sanders. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
If Tennessee doubles up, Cam Ward and Shador, why not?
They do the RG3 Kirk Cousins in Washington
back in the day type thing. I don't know. That could be a possibility,
I don't think it is.
It's fun to talk about.
Yeah, it is.
So if you're Cleveland, you're kind of thinking those two teams in between you are probably not taking him. But I don't know that anybody would trade up for Shador Sanders. So I would take somebody else with the first pick today and then come back if you really want Shador and take him with the fourth pick in the second round today.
What do you believe when it comes to like teams trying to maybe like stay away? Like, I get it, like, not from like a talent or a personality standpoint, but like, do you want to be that team that takes Shador Sanders now after all the drama that was round one where he didn't go, to where you would see everything shift if you're like, this team takes Shador Sanders? Like, all right, now we know that, you know, we're going to bring this in.
Yeah, it's
because Cleveland clearly set themselves up. Now, maybe Cleveland obviously knows something that we don't know. And they kind of knew that Shador was going to go out of the first round. They didn't think he was going to get drafted, or they took that gamble and they're like, we'll go quarterback, not with skill set player and Travis Hunter, which we all look at and say mistake, unless some people think that he's a bust.
Well, he's the second overall pick. I mean, he's got bust written all over him just because of the draft position, right?
But maybe Cleveland was like, he's not going to go in the first round. Our sources are confirmed that he's going to slip. Pittsburgh's going to take a defensive tackle. We don't think he's going to go to the Rams. We think he's going to fall out. We've already set ourselves up to take one in the second round and then fourth because we know who's between us in the picks in the second round. So we have options if we want to take him. Plus, like, doesn't it scream Cleveland now? Like, knowing what we know about Cleveland's franchise and like quarterbacks, and can he be the next guy up? Because normally it's a first round guy. Normally it's like, you shouldn't miss on this guy. It's Tim Couch. It's Baker Mayfield, it's Johnny Manziel.
now it's like second round, maybe late second, or, you know, whatever, early second round at Shador Sanders. Yeah, he won a first round pick, but he was a 33rd pick. So that would maybe make me yield away with it, or
him and Will Levis.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe they go Luther Burden, knowing that the teams in front of them aren't going to take Shador Sanders, and then they take Shador Sanders.
But also, if you're Cleveland at this point in time and they sign Joe Flacco, okay? I know he's old. Does he give you enough for a year? And then if you're Cleveland, you can come back next year when the quarterback class is going to be better and try to get a quarterback there. Like, you have to make sure if you're drafting this guy, or any guy, quite honestly, at the quarterback position, this is the guy we want to build our franchise around. You have to be convicted that he is 100% that guy. Is Shador Sanders that guy? He fell out of the first round. I don't know that he is that guy.
Yeah, Cleveland traded their pick that they could have taken him. If they really wanted him, if they really thought he was their franchise and they're going to set him up to be the guy for the next 10 years, they would have done it.
Right.
So if I give you Cleveland of the field for Shador Sanders, you take the field easily?
No, not easily.
No, not easily.
Not easily because of the two picks up there.
Yeah. And where they're at.
Yeah, and four at the top of the draft. I mean, I still think Pittsburgh could be a potential option for him.
They're still without a quarterback.
They're still without a quarterback. Yeah, but I mean, I like the Raiders at five today.
Mm-hmm. I like that as a possibility. I don't like it as a Chiefs fan.
Maybe the Raiders trade up to the first 33rd pick and trade out of the 38th.
Do you like the Rams 37th? At all for this guy?
I mean, that's good infrastructure. That's solid.
If that's my kid, and it's like, hey, he's going to go to Sean McVay. Thank you.
He's
going to go to Mike Tomlin. Thank you. Thank you. Outside of that,
Pittsburgh does not have a pick in the second round.
That's where the trade would come.
Yep.
But are you trading with your own division to trade up to maybe possibly get a? Because then it's like, well, let's say Shador Sanders does pan out. He's a good quarterback. And your franchise will always be known that you gave Cleveland that pick, or you gave Pittsburgh that pick.
Yeah, but what if Cleveland doesn't take him with the first pick and you talk to Tennessee if you're Pittsburgh and move into the third pick today and take Shador right in front of Cleveland, too?
Also, some logic into that as well.
So I think it could be a very interesting kind of watch today for Shador
Sanders.
Today's
fun.
Yeah,
today's
fun. Like I think it's going to be very interesting to see where Shador goes, what that drama is like. If he goes off the board early with the first pick, there's not much drama, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But as each pick goes by, if he continues to fall, that's good. That's drama. That keeps people watching. You know, that keeps people invested in this thing.
I hope he doesn't go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean from what we've been told and what we've heard, seems like Vegas would be a fun
possibility.
He's set up because all these other guys that are there playmakers now get the year.
Exactly.
And then it's like, what have we been talking about? Like, let the guy sit.
Under Pete Carroll and Geno.
Good. Like Vegas could be a spot at five. I don't think New England takes them. I don't think the Bears do. No. The Saints at eight today is a possibility. Yep.
Somebody says in the text line, surprise trade up goes to the 49ers and they take them.
Yeah, that could be a good spot for him too. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, the 49ers is a good spot for Shador.
Purdy's like, wait, what?
it's because it's a strong leadered group. You know, you've got Shanahan, you've got John Lynch. Yep. Like those are leaders, man. Like that's what you need if you're going to usher a kid into the NFL. That's why, like Cam Ward is rookie of the year. He's probably going to be the leader in the clubhouse most of the season. But is the coaching staff, are there enough leaders in Tennessee? I don't know. I don't think the answer to that question is a yes right now.
Right. Well, we've reached the end of the show, fellas. We appreciate all the listeners today. Real quickly, what are two things what's a can of corn for you this weekend?
Can of corn. We got my daughter's soccer game tonight. Going to go watch that and see Olathe East take care of some business out
what
there.
What time
today.
Is that?
5 o'clock, I think. 5:30, somewhere in that
range.
I'm okay
with that time slot.
Yeah, it's a good time
slot.
That's
nice. Today. Yeah.
Yeah, they're by 7 easy.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's good. They're quick hour and a half games.
Watch that Rose game on the patio.
That's right.
And the draft. Heck, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Rooting for you guys. I'm watching the draft tonight. I'm going to the Royals game Saturday night.
Yeah, I think we're going to go Sunday, too. Yeah,
nice. Sunday and Saturday. Yeah, I'll be locked in. Happy hour, Friday night draft. I'm excited for tonight's draft with everything that could happen. And then the Royals go for 2 out of 3 against Houston. Going 2 out of 3.
Yeah, go take care of business.
You won 4 in a row. You beat the Rockies. Jack Caglione's in right field. I'm a happy man. Ooh. Still on. We're still good. Okay.
Still on.
I'm a happy man.
I'll let you have it.
I mean, look at that, man. Royals sweep. Cags plays right. You get your future left tackle. You say, good day for Kansas City Sports yesterday. All about the future was yesterday.
Yeah, it really was.
All about the future. This is all about today, tomorrow, and every day of your life. Go do something nice for somebody because you never know.
You could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's Simply Cool to Care. Coming up next, it's Cody, Gold, and Drew from 10 to 2. Boo that man! Keep booing him!